Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Operation Confidence, America's Invisible Heroes, a show dedicated to our veterans and their families. I'm your host, Consuela Mackey, Executive Director of a grassroots nonprofit organization, as I've said before, called Operation Confidence. For those who are new to the show, America's Invisible Heroes strives to provide a platform for veterans to be able to share their experiences, heartfelt stories, challenges, and accomplishments. Now, I would like to introduce my wonderful co-host, Air Force veterans and Operation Confidence board member, Matt Davison, and our announcer, Leah Granderson, CEO of and co-founder of True Ambitions Community Center. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon, Consuela, VA, and welcome to our veterans and their families.
Good afternoon, Matt, Consuela, and welcome LA Talk Radio listeners.
Before we begin today's show, we'd like to take a moment of silence for all of those, including those who served, who lost their lives resulting from the insurrection on the U.S. Capitol last week. Thank you. At this time, I would like to pass along some information from the House of Representatives 6395 Veteran Affairs Matters, including services for women veterans and services for homeless veterans and veterans at risk of homelessness. First, women veterans. The House has decided to devote $20 million for retrofitting healthcare facilities to make it safer and easier for women veterans to get care, and requires the Veterans Health Administration to submit plans for approval regarding how they will designate these funds. It also mandates that every VA facility have at least one women's health primary care provider, and it creates a permanent office of women's health within the Veterans Health Administration that is tasked with providing oversight over all women's health programs within the VA. It also requires VA leaders to create an anti-harassment and anti-sexual assault policy, and it will designate officials to take responsible for any related complaints. And it requires the VA to create a training module for community health care providers that is specific to women veterans. The Committee on Women's Veterans mandate to include examining the effect of intimate partner violence on women veterans, and creates a VA pilot program to care for survivors of intimate partner violence. And it ensures that service members and veterans seeking access to care and counseling related to military sexual trauma can seek this care at any healthcare facility, not limited to vet centers. And it requires the VA to enter into agreements with public or private entities to provide free legal services to women veterans to meet the following unmet needs: child support, eviction and foreclosure prevention, discharge upgrade appeals, financial guardianship, credit counseling, and family reconciliation assistance. And lastly, it improves access to prosthetic items made specifically for women at VA medical facilities. In terms of services for homeless veterans and veterans at risk of homelessness, it will expand the HUD-VASH voucher program to veterans with other than honorable characterizations of discharge. It will increase the amount of grant funds awarded to organizations providing services to homeless veterans to 115% of the state veterans home domiciliary rate, and allow for additional increases. And it allows for the VA to award grants to legal services organizations assisting veterans who are homeless and veterans who are at imminent risk of homelessness. And it requires the VA to study existing problems that provides assistance to women veterans who are homeless with the goal of identifying continuing areas of need. And lastly, it extends contracts for VA homeless veteran case managers to prevent gaps in services for homeless veterans during COVID-19. And working together, we feel that the VA can achieve more legislative victories for our nation's veterans.
Well, Matt, that anyone can contact as far as Veterans Affairs? Do you have a number there?
Well, actually, it is the House of Representatives that put through these new regulations.
Okay.
And I guess it depends on whoever your representative is.
Is
in the
right.
House.
I got you.
You can contact them.
Well, thank you so much. That was great informative information. Thank you so much. Well, now that Matt has kicked off the show, Leah, can you introduce our first guest?
You've got it, Connie. Our first guest is Army Reserve veteran Charles Whitehead. For the last 26 years, Mr. Whitehead has worked for Rancho Los Amigos National Rehabilitation Center as a research assistant. Aside from conducting research, Mr. Whitehead can be found following his passions in the entertainment industry. He is an actor, musician, singer, songwriter, and composer who leads a band named Per Se. However, when he's not doing that, Mr. Whitehead can also be found in the producer's chair, directing and editing movies and music videos for others. Thank you for being here today, Mr. Whitehead.
Oh, Charles. Well, I don't know if Charles is linked in there yet. Charles, are you there?
Ron.
Is not available.
Okay, well,
right.
If he's not in,
go on to our second guest.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, I'll introduce our second guest. Our second guest, Elizabeth, would you like, well, you could introduce.
Oh, sure, yes. No problem. Thank you, Leah. And thank you, everyone. Welcome to this segment is actually Veterans in the Workplace. And so I'm excited and honored that we can get started in lieu of our guest on the line today. But we're looking forward to hearing from him, I'm sure, in our future show. I am Elizabeth Yeo, CEO and founder of Veteran Charities Initiative, where we create change management strategies designed to attract, interview, hire, place, train, and retain women veterans at every level within an organization. We form alliances and partnerships with vetted companies and organizations like Operation Confidence here today, providing opportunities, resources, services, and products that will enhance the lives of women veterans and the communities they live in and serve. Today, I'm really honored to welcome a fellow veteran, a colleague, and actually my friend, and now fellow co-host going forward, Olivia Chavez Carroll. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Olivia, and joining the America Invisible Heroes team. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm so
eager.
Excited.
I'm so happy, Miss Connie is so happy. We're all very thrilled.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy
so
to
great.
Have you become a part of our team. This is a wonderful blessing. So to kick it off, I'm going to just start the interview.
Well, I can do the little intro. I could do a little intro right before.
Thank you, Leah.
Yeah.
Thank
I just
you.
Had to scroll okay, up on my page way. To make sure I was in the right spot.
Fantastic.
So thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Thank you.
No problem. So today's guest and now team member is U.S. Army Marine, or Captain, I should say, Olivia Chavez Carroll, Marine Corps veteran. And Captain Chavez Carroll served 22 years as a combat pilot for the U.S. Marine. And during her time in the Army, she flew a Chinook helicopter?
A Chinook
helicopter in Afghanistan for the 101st Airborne Division out of South Carolina. Currently, Captain Chavez Carroll has taken on the role of executive director of her nonprofit called the Veterans Awareness Project, where she has made it her mission to use her post-service experience and knowledge to help U.S. veterans find and receive educational, financial, medical, as well as state and federal benefits. We're so grateful to have you on our show here today, Captain.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you. It's just wonderful to align with other like-minded people that want to uplift veterans and show them how and where we can succeed and continue to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, here to conduct your interview is your bestie. I'm going to call her your bestie, Veterans in the Workplace anchor, U.S. Navy veteran Elizabeth Yeo. Take
Thank
it away.
You, Leah. Thank mm-hmm. you, Olivia. So let's begin with what were you doing before the military and what actually prompted you to join?
Well, before actually I was many, but I started dancing at the age of 4, and then I moved on to, when I was 8 years old, my mother found Ballet Folklorico Olin, and the director, Virginia Dediger, was teaching out of a local park. So that's kind of how I started dancing Mexican folklorico, because culture, movement, culture, that is all, and music is so important to me. And I just really think that that's what's going to help us, you know, as we all venture through. I think that's what's helping a lot of people through this time that we're all isolated, COVID. But I was dancing. I danced. I became a professional. I got my first paid gig. I was 14. So I started dancing professionally with a professional performance company at 14. And for me, that was the best. I went on at 16. I went on to perform in Mexico. We did a tour in Mexico. I've danced in New York. I've danced in Texas. I got to dance at the Cotton Bowl 1 year. I danced in Arizona and obviously up and down California. So that's what I was doing before. I was a cheerleader. I was a drill team member. I mean, I was very much all into the dancing, right? To the dancing aspect of growing up. But what prompted me to go to the military actually was that I wasn't a student of books at the time. And I struggled with, I did really well in summer school. Right. So I was like, did really well. And I would get all A's through the summer. But during the school year, I'm like, I was extremely bored. I found myself daydreaming and doodling and sleeping and everything except listening, because I couldn't seem to, I had a difficult time. I didn't know how to learn, I guess, is the first point. And no one taught me how to learn. So it's just this expectation that you need to learn this, study it, and regurgitate it. Well, I'm not the regurgitating type. You know me very well. It's like I have an opinion about everything. So then when it was time to go to school, to pick a college, go to college, start going that route, I wasn't like everybody else in my classes. I was in the magnet program at San Fernando High School. A lot of my friends and classmates went on to become councilwomen and, you know, assembly members, congress members, now senators. And so although I watched them and I saw them and I was excited for their success, at the same time, I'm just looking at myself going, yeah, there's something more out there for me. Like, I used to always like to help, but I didn't know what that looked like. And so when it time to pick I have a family at the time. I had two uncles that had gone to the Corps. My brother was in the Navy. He was a nuclear power engineer in the Navy and getting ready to drive submarines. I had two cousins that had already joined the Corps. So when I decided, I said, I'm going to go into the military. I'm going to go into the Marine Corps. And I knew it would be the Marine Corps. Like, I didn't have, there was no other choice for me. Like, I didn't feel there would be another choice.
Sure.
So that's why I joined, because I knew that there was something bigger out there for me, but I just wasn't sure what that was. And I didn't think going to the community college was going to help me find it.
Right.
mean, you talked about this once, you know, I knew there was something bigger than Ohio at the time, and I had to get out and see what it was. And the military was a great option for that, I think, and a great teacher as well, right?
Very much.
So moving into, how long did you actually serve? You served 22 years, we heard, but how was your service during that 22 years?
Well,
that's a broad question.
That was a loaded question. So we'll keep it short. I'll tell you this much. So within my 22 years, I actually served in a variety of services. So as you heard, I joined the Marine Corps right away. I joined the Corps. I was in the Corps for 8 years. After 9/11, I wanted to go back into the Marine Corps because it already had time off. But in the Marine Corps, getting back into active duty after you have your discharge papers. And I don't just mean the DD-214, after your reserve time and your obligated time, after those 8 years, getting back into the Marine Corps on an active duty status is very difficult, especially back then. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't in I wasn't infantry or any kind of a position like that. I was an administrator, but I did work a lot with, hello?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. Noise.
Yes.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, I hear that.
Keep going, sweetheart.
No worries. After I got out after 9/11, I was actually at the University of South Carolina studying government and international relations, and I felt lonely. I was a single mom, and I went back to school, and I just felt like something was missing. But I knew that I needed to serve. So I started looking around and I found the National Guard. And so I joined the Army National Guard, and ironically it was another Marine that was actually my recruiter at the time who had also gone to the Guard. And I told him I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to do administration. I didn't want to do admin work. And I didn't, at the time I was like, I don't even want to go legal, which was a passion of mine at the time. And so I said, no, I'll do aviation. So I was at the time already older, so I didn't think I could become an officer. I didn't think I could become a pilot. Like, I didn't think I could do any of those things because I only knew the rules and regs of the Marine Corps. And so I was going to become operations in operations. And I had a captain at the time. He's now Lieutenant Colonel Adrian Priester, a great mentor of mine. And he asked me one day, he said, hey, do you want to, I heard you wanted to go to OCS and be an officer. And I said, I did, but I didn't think I could. I'm too old. He says, no, shoot. He said, no, you're not. And so I'm like, oh, okay. So the next month, this happened in October. In November, I was already filling out my packet. And by January, I was at the OCS classroom. So shout out to Palmetto Military Academy. Yeah, the Palmetto Military Academy of South Carolina. I was in class 56. And I have actually a really dear friend of mine. She is currently deployed. So Kim, I'm not going to, tell on you. I'm not going to say what your last name is, but know that I love you and stay safe out there. Keep your unit safe and all of you guys safe. So I'll let her know about the show and just let her know I shouted out to her because I love them dearly. Even though we don't all speak, on the phone or regularly, we the class as a whole has really tried to stay connected. We had so many, and we were all prior enlisted. So all of us had already been in the military. So we all knew what it was like to be, throw out the trash, field day, and now you have to learn how your mistakes, and this is something I'll never forget. He was half the time, don't get crumbled up in a piece of paper into the trash can. Your mistakes end up in body bags.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
When they told us that, it did. It definitely took on a different life for me for the rest of my career because I went on to become an aviator. I flew Apaches for a little while. I flew Chinooks and I graduated. I flew Chinooks and went to Afghanistan. And to this day, I take it that seriously. So when people tell me, look, this is, when I'm spoken to in confidence, whether it be someone working, trying to get on with their education or their schooling or thinking about, do I want to go this way or that way? I do think that words matter, and I want to ensure that whatever advice I give, I tell them my experience, and that I'm able to say, this is what I chose for my situation. This is where I came from, and this is why I chose it. So, and I always tell them, talk about it.
Well, Olivia, you know what? You're a mentor, and I think what you're doing and what you have done is just, I'm going to say it again, everyone laughs at me, amazing. I love what you're doing. they have a running joke with me with my eyes. Amazing. But before Elizabeth comes on with her segment. I have wanted Olivia to real quickly tell us about your nonprofit, because Charles has come on and we wanted to talk with him too before we run out of time. So real quick, tell us about your organization so we can have Charles and then Elizabeth and then wrap it up with Leah and Matt. Okay?
Wonderful. So it is the Veteran Awareness Project. You can locate us at veteranawarenessproject.com. We assist veterans throughout the VA and benefit system. We offer support services, including workshops on health and wellness. We have on our website, as a matter of, you know, we are on Facebook as well. We offer yoga. We have different veterans that come on. We ideally like to work directly with veterans or veteran family members. Mm-hmm. We all need options out there other than suicide. And that is my ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is to ensure that we offer people and veterans and their family members, regardless of era, regardless of age, regardless of discharge status. There's very few times we won't try to assist. Even if we have to not be able to assist you directly, we'll tell you maybe possibly we'll give you some resources to go to.
That is absolutely wonderful. I think that's great. And let everyone, at least Elizabeth will let everyone know that you are a part of the team. So you'll be coming back and sharing more information. But for right now, Leah, please introduce our first guest who had a little hard time connecting. Leah.
I'm here. Our first guest, again, who for the last 26 years has worked for Rancho Los Amigos National Rehabilitation Center as a research assistant. Aside from conducting research, Mr. Whitehead can be found following his passions in the entertainment industry. He is a musician, singer-songwriter, composer, and he leads his own band named, co-leads a band named Per Se. However, when he's not doing that, Mr. Whitehead can be found in the producer's chair, directing and editing movies and music videos for others. Thank you for being here, Mr. Whitehead.
Thank you, Ms. Thorne. It's a pleasure.
No, it's not Ms. Thorne. That's Leah.
That's Leah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to call you first name. I thought it was your last name. Okay, thank you, Leah. I'm going to go by first name.
Okay.
No problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The pleasure is all ours. Now I'll hand it over to Matt for the interview portion.
Hello, Charles. How are you? I remember your presence at the Operation Confidence event that was held about 10 years ago at the historical L.A. Sports Arena. And I remember all of those veterans from all the different branches and all the service providers. And to me, it was a most impressive day. What is it that you remember about that day?
Well, I remember all of the different agencies that were there, and it was an outside event, and it was at the sports arena. Of course, the sports arena is no longer there, but it was a great coming together for veterans. And I mean, it was the sheriffs, the LAPD, the fire department, it was a lot of federal agencies, city council. It was just a great event. You know, we had talent and, the music and fashion show. It was very well put together. And that, it sticks in my mind.
Your group played at that event too, Charles. Remember?
Yes, actually, yes, of course. I don't forget many places that I played, and especially that event. That was a great place. That was a great event.
You know, I don't want to butt in, but I know we're winding up a little bit. But I wanted Charles to tell us about his experience as a veteran, which Matt is going to expand on that. But by you being a wheelchair user and what you're doing today and changing the world for a better place on. As far as what you're doing for our veterans. Tell our audience about that.
Well, me being a veteran is a great thing. I've joined a bunch of veteran groups here in Long Beach. I'm part of the Long Beach PDA, the California, and we play at the hospital at the VA for Veterans Independence Day on July the 4th. I'm all veterans. I like to, if there's any way I can help, I'm all there. I try to, help share resources and things like that. And music being my thing, I write about the veterans. If you get a chance, go to YouTube and check out the story goes on, a song I wrote about the veterans who come home and the ones who didn't make it home. So I'm pro-veteran. My father was a veteran. My father, my brother, and lots of cousins and uncles and all who are all military people. So
that's
primarily military and country.
All right. We're proud of you. Matt, you have some questions for Charles as well?
Yeah, I understand, Charles, that you had won an award from the city of Long Beach for music that you composed for them. And could you tell us what that was about and where we might be able to hear that music?
Sure. I wrote a song called Downtown Long Beach, and I spent about a year and a half running around filming things that are here downtown Long Beach. The Queen Mary, you know, a lot of the, you know, just things around here in the downtown. And so I took my song to the Long Beach City Council and pitched it to them. And I said, you should adopt my song. And I played it. And, you know, the way that happened is, you know, the mayor had just been elected and you have to get a speaker's card. So I turned in my information about the song and they wanted me to, you know, you get 3 minutes. The song was 4.5 minutes, so I got my co-leader of the band, Herman, to go with me. We went down, and the mayor's like, no, you can't. He's got to talk. Well, the bottom line is they ended up loving the song. They played it, and before it stopped, they finished it off. And the mayor said, yes, they love the song. And I was up there 17 and a half minutes. They connected me with the council, the Convention Center Visitors Bureau, and the rest is history. I won an award for the song. And so you can go to YouTube, and it's Downtown Long Beach. There are like three versions of it.
And you were written up in the paper as well, right?
Yes. You know, so I've done a lot of things, you know, and been fortunate to get you know, newspapers and, you know, video interviews and things like that. You know, I do it because I love music and I love what I do. So I don't do it for the publicity. You know, that just comes along. But, you know, life is great. And the thing that drives me, I always say, keep my head up and refuse to lose because life is good.
Right. Happy to be around. You got that right.
That's fantastic. And I am very impressed. You are an inspiration, Charles.
Yes, he is. Well,
thank you.
Leah, you want to introduce our other team player, Elizabeth?
Elizabeth,
yes.
Are you ready to do your Veterans in the Workplace, firing the questions away at both? You could also, you know, I'm sure you can ask Charles as well as Captain Chavez Carroll any questions you have, or, you know, take it away with what you have prepared.
Yes, I'll ask both of you, our guests that we just heard from, Mr. Charles. You know, I think we probably might all agree, you as well, Matt, and I'm not sure how you all might have identified after exit, but Olivia and I were discussing this before. You know, do you identify as a veteran or someone who served? Because I've heard, and I used to feel the same way when I first got out, I never referred to myself as a veteran. So I used to refer to myself as, oh yeah, I was in the Navy, and that's it. And it was, I think at that point that I felt like, oh yes, I did that, but it's over. Like high school was, you don't still say, oh yeah, I was in high school, right? But that is really a part of it kind of etched in some more etchings into this perfect mold of clay, right? That that is being created in the lives that we lead. So when you first got out, for me, as I just said, I did not identify as a veteran. I didn't. It took many years before I even referred to myself as such. And so for you, Charles, did you say right away, yes, I'm a veteran, or did it take some time for you? What was your experience in that realm?
You know, I never did identify as a veteran. And about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little longer, I was at an event and it was for veterans. And I kept saying, oh, yes, I'm an ex-veteran. You know, I kept saying ex-veteran, and one of the
right.
veteran guys was like, he says, you're not an ex-veteran, you are a veteran. And I said, you know, it was subconsciously, it wasn't in my mind that I was a veteran. You
right.
know, like, and he said, you are a veteran. That's what it means. I said, okay. So I can understand what you mean about that.
Right. What about you, Olivia? What is your what was your first take on it? Did it take some time for you as well?
Yeah, oh, gosh, yes. So figure I joined the Corps in 92. And when we got out, you got your information, you got your packet, your DD-214, and said, okay, have a nice life. And everybody just would call right. me a former Marine. Like they didn't refer to me as a vet. Not even the Marine Corps referred to me as a vet. But I always say, well, that's an oxymoron, because once a Marine, always a Marine. I will forever be a Marine. So
right.
I always say, oh, yeah, I served in the military. I served. I didn't call myself a veteran. I did not call myself a veteran until December 2009 when I returned from Afghanistan.
Wow.
After all the...
Right.
Because I took on what everybody, what people called me. And mm-hmm.
Most of us do, right?
Mm-hmm. So now that's why I surround myself with veterans. And I, you know, that's why it's like, if you wore the uniform, you're a vet. I mean, regardless of what the VA
Absolutely.
Says, regardless of what nonprofits say or what this person or that says, if you served in our military, you're a veteran of one way or another of some sort.
Indeed. And Olivia, on that note, is this what prompted you to get involved with the California Women Veterans Leadership Council? Can you tell us a little about that, your role and the goal for the council?
Oh, yes. I was recently voted in as the chair for the state of California's California Women Veterans Leadership Council. And we are on Facebook. You can also locate some of our information on the CalVet website. We are in the process of actually recruiting women from every single county of the state of California. So if you're in the Northern, in Central Valley, it doesn't matter where you are in the state of California, as veteran advocates, we're seeking to have a minimum of 58 women from, you know, one from every county join us so that we can establish what your needs are in your county. Because what we need in LA is not what we need in the IE, or what we need in, say,
right.
Palm Springs is not what's needed in, you know, Yucaipa. So all of that matters. And so many people tend to forget that, you know, Susanville, California, that's up in way Northern California. And there's a VA there, but the services are not the same as they are, say, in a more robust town as in California. I mean, in LA. So that's why I wanted to join. I want to be a part of a group of women that were forward thinking in the veteran community, but that kept each mm-hmm. other accountable. Because a lot of times we fail to do that. And it's, you know, that's on our own. I mean, we've seen that within the veteran community as a whole. And I don't knock anyone who works and tries hard. I don't care if you help one person, that means you're helping a veteran. But you have other people that say they want to help vets, but it's all in word and it's all in maybe their propaganda, but it's not really actionable. And so we're all about really moving forward in 2021 with action items, deliverables. We want to connect. One of the projects that I'm working on are the Atomic Veterans. So if any of you listening know of anyone who worked with the atomic bomb and within the testing, whether it's atmospheric or underground, you know, please connect with us. The California Leadership Council, we're actually going to look on working with women, right? Women veterans who were part of this project. But we have 500,000 of them.
Right.
So that's what we're hoping to help out with and be a part of.
And you're going to come back
and
share more of that. Yeah.
I will, definitely.
Matt, what about you? Matt may have had an experience also.
I have never had any problem identifying as a veteran. And I also like to spend as much time as possible around veterans.
Mm-hmm.
But
me too.
Always a big part of my life.
Oh, that's so great. That's really wonderful.
Well, real quick, Elizabeth, tell our listeners about your organization and how you come back and you offer your closing out.
Oh, yes, ma'am. As I mentioned a little bit in the beginning, Veteran Charities Initiative is about creating change. We want to create strategies for organizations to help them really design plans to attract, interview, hire, place, train, and retain women veterans at every level within the organization. So we seek to help better the business community understand the veteran community, the veteran mindset, and what's needed to really help the veterans make the company a success, as well as staying successful in the roles that they play within the organization. So it's through partnerships and alliances with vetted companies and organizations that do provide these opportunities, these resources and services, products that will actually enhance the lives of women veterans and the communities they live in and serve. So moving forward, what we're going to be doing on the segment of the show is having panel discussions, and we're going to be having a women's veteran panel discussion happening this month, and where we can talk about some of the issues and some of the solutions that are out there for women veterans in the workplace and those who are looking to start their own businesses and create jobs in the workplace. So this is what we have to look forward to. I'm very thankful to Ms. Connie and Operation Confidence, LA Talk Radio. It's really a blessing from God and for this phenomenal platform, Ms. Connie. I mean, we are really forever grateful for this opportunity to connect with veterans throughout the country. I really am. And I just want to say, with all that's going on in the nation and all that just happened on Capitol Hill, veterans are a nonpartisan group that our Holy Father has blessed to lead in faith for our brothers and sisters in arms, as well as the citizens that we have devoted our lives to oaths and heartfelt just warmth for our fellow brothers and sisters in and around our country. So with that, I just want to say thank you. And please reach out to Operation Confidence and join in this grassroots movement to make the lives better for disabled veterans.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Yeah, we need everybody involved. And before we end the show, I'll tell you a little bit about what we're doing. But Leah, you want to, first of all, I want to thank everybody. Let Leah take it from here.
Well, it's time for us to acknowledge an invisible hero before we close out. I'm not sure if Matt's ready, prepared to speak on that just yet. Are you ready, Matt?
Yes, I am.
All right. Go ahead.
I'm going to keep this one shorter than it should be because of lack of time. But in the week that we just witnessed, wanted to tell us a feel-good story. And this is a story that's called the Berlin Candy Bomber. And in the years after World War II ended, Berlin became a divided city in a divided country. And a lot of the people who suffered were the children in Germany. And there was a pilot by the name of Gail Halverson who used to try to bring chewing gum and candy to these children. And he did that quite well. He would also get other of the military people to donate their chewing gum and candy to the children. And then he told the children that he was going to put this gum and candy in handkerchiefs and parachute it down to where they were. And they said, well, how will we know that that's you doing that? And he says, I will wiggle my wings as he approached their position. And he lived up to his professions. And the flight engineer rocked the airplane during the drop. And then more and more people from the United States heard about what was going on, this humanitarian mission, and they started to send over whole lots of food and candy and chewing gum for the children. And one of the children who waited had the opportunity to meet Captain Halverson, and he stood at the fence. And she said that while she never caught any candy, she remembered the daily ritual as a symbol of hope and fun at a time when such things were thin. And it's just what the military sought. And by framing this story as an act of heroism benefiting innocent children, Americans overcame residual hostilities of the occupation and fostered a new relationship with former enemy. Hmm. This helped the Allies hold on to West Berlin and maintain home support for the effort. And in 1949, the Soviets lifted the blockade and the land delivery of food resumed. As for Halvorsen, and many of his former beneficiaries at the time, the candy bomber had tracked him down to thank him and tell their own stories that small things you do can turn into great things.
Oh,
I love that, Matt. As an educator, you know, that warms my heart.
Mine, too. It's so touching.
And, you know, we're closing out. I just want to let everyone know on LA Talk Radio that we will be back next week from 2 to 3, and we will look Carter.
Mm-hmm. And before we close out today, I think we have a little bit more time. I wanted to share something real with you as well. We will have some outstanding guests, veteran guests on the show, community leaders as well. And I just wanted to let you all know how thrilled I am to be on LA Talk Radio with our dynamic team. And the fact that I'm not a veteran. I'm just a mama and a grandmother who 10 years ago was in an area of Los Angeles after our organization had did a presentation for the veterans and residents at the Union Rescue Mission. So happened to have come out of the mission on our way to the van and seen an encampment of our veterans living out of their wheelchairs on the streets of Skid Row. Have our veterans living on the streets and no resources. By our organization being around for several decades advocating for individuals with disabilities, I knew what was happening to our veterans sitting in their own waste after fighting for our country. And it's been a mission that I've been on for over a decade to find resources and housing and job opportunities, of course, counseling for our American heroes. And this is the reason why Operation Confidence is on LA Talk Radio show today. We want to have as many of you as possible to get involved with our grassroots organization. Visit operationconfidence.org, visit our website, and see what we're doing. We need everyone that's listening to get involved and help us to get housing for our veterans. Right now, we have two angels who have come forth to say they'll help us. One is Norberto Norti, who is a world-renowned architect. We hope to have him on the show soon. He's offered to design a network of houses for our organization. And we have Jet Sesson, who's a landowner who's donated 5 acres of land for our organization. Now we need everyone else to put those pieces together. We need grant writers. We need infrastructure. We need budget professionals. We need everything and everyone to make that happen. And we just want to tell you, please get involved. And we thank you so much. We're excited to have the show. We're going to have some dynamic individuals and veterans and community leaders on every week, every Sunday. But we're excited to have you guys listening to what we're offering, and please get involved. Don't you agree, team?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's why I was excited when I heard them say Congress is giving them more money, so we need to have them give us some of that so we can make that happen for you, Connie.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all have an organization that we're pushing, and we want that entire group of us is going to come together as one to make a difference for our veterans. So it's not just Operation Confidence, it's all of us. We all have something to give, and there's room for more. So, So, anyway, Matt, you're going to tell us a little bit. I think we got a few more minutes left. Roland, you'll tell us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I know that Jody Galvin will be here next week, and I'm excited because we'll hear about, you know, the Community Veteran Justice Project.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that is like such a timely, you know, opportunity for us to get that.
And you know what, Leah, I want to say this, that, you know, I tell all you girls, and you have not told our audience about your phenomenal organization and what you offer our veteran children. Tell us about who you are.
Yes.
True Ambitions Community Center, we go by TACC. We're a group of educators and mental health professionals who want to provide learning, enrichment, mental health and wellness, and career readiness opportunities to all. And, you know, having now met Ms. Connie and being in contact with all of these amazing vets, including Elizabeth Yeo and Matt Davison, and now Olivia Carroll, Chavez Carroll, Captain Carroll. I definitely want to make sure that we provide services to the families, holistic services to veterans and their children. You know, I know that having a parent going from, you know, place to place and the children moving with the families around and have bid and, you know, virtual learning, distance learning, we can provide a constant for them, right? So if you know anyone who has a child or a person of any age who's interested in getting enrichment, learning support, mental health and wellness, and career readiness support, please go to the website. It's trueambition.org. That's TRUEAMBITIONS.org.
And then, of course, you can always reach Leah and the rest of the team by going to info@operationconfidence.org. That's info@operationconfidence.org. And I think we still got a few more minutes, guys. Matt.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised. I thought we'd be out of time by now.
I know. What I do want to tell our audience also is that we will be introducing some outstanding advertising packages. Right, Leah? We're going to be able to offer our listeners a great opportunity to advertise at a ridiculously low rate so that you can be connected with us as well. So you stay tuned and be able to hear more about what we're offering to you as the weeks come. One other thing we want to share with you all is a little bit about Charles, and you're coming back with a group of entertainers. You didn't tell us anything about that piece.
Yes, I'll be back doing a segment with music. We'll talk about entertainment, which encompasses music and movies and, you know, just veterans who, you know, the ways that we can help entertain the veterans. And, you know, it'll be great, you know, to do music. Of course, I'm a musician, composer, and I write and direct and all of that stuff. That's all fun stuff. But to be able to pass it on, and I actually share a songwriting class on Zoom where I, you know, teach people how to write songs if they want to get involved. So that will be coming up soon. Yes, thank you, Connie.
Yeah, you didn't even tell us about that. And you know what I want you to also tell our listeners to is about how dynamic you are. I found another word, Charles, instead of amazing.
Well,
how dynamic you are as far as you having an accident, making you a wheelchair user, and that has yet to stop you. You have done some just dynamic things out there, and including teaching classes, teaching the kids at Rancho, the patients at Rancho, the shows that you put on, the entertainment that you put on in the community. It just goes on and on and on. And so you should tell our audience about a little bit about that as well as we get ready for the clock to wind down.
Yes, you know, it's like I say, to me it's all fun, and that's why I'm able to do what I do. You know, it's having a car accident. Actually, I had two accidents. The first accident happened in 1982 before I made it home, going from my AIT, schooling. I went to the defense mapping school. And I was in a head-on collision with a drunk driver. My second accident happened 5 years after that, and I went off a cliff in a freak accident. And I'm here. I'm still here. So for me, it's like, I'm still here. I have the ability to do things, and I do things, and it's all fun. Yes, I've been working at Rancho Los Amigos for 26 years, and so I see a lot of people who are having struggles, and I talk to people. I'm in court. If you think that you have it all and you're a millionaire, some people it's just the opposite. They have a bunch of money, but they don't have the clear conscience, and they don't have peace of mind. And so for me, peace of mind is priceless. And
that's
I hope
it.
To share my
Got
joy with
right.
everyone.
got that right. I love what you're saying. Yes. And you're an inspiration, as all the rest of you that's been on today and the other guests that's going to come back on. That's what we're all about as well. We want to be inspiration, let you know that we may not have much, but we have tremendous will to make a positive difference and bring a lot of happiness to this world. There's so much sadness, and this is what we're all about. We're going to change, and we don't have anything. That's what's so amazing about us. That's what we're saying again, amazing. We have very, very little, but we have determination, drive, ambition, important in that. We got God on our side.
Amen.
There's nothing can stop us.
Huh, Elizabeth?
Hi, Elizabeth.
Amen, indeed.
Nothing can stop us. So I want to thank you all for listening. We're coming down to like 2 more minutes. Roland, how are we doing with time? I guess we got a few more seconds. This is our first show, guys, so we're stumbling through it a little bit. So we haven't got
it. Can I just be able to give people a way to reach out if they want to contact me? You can always call Operation Confidence, of course. But I can pass out my number if it's okay.
Sure, real quick. We just got a thing. Time to say goodbye. Give your number out.
Time to say goodbye. 213-500-0516. And that's Charles Whitehead. I'm
Look
always
for us next
this,
week. Thank you.
Next
bye,
week.
Everybody.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Take care now.
You're listening to Operation Confidence Radio Talk Show, America's Invisible Heroes, with Consuela Mackey, only on LA Talk Radio.